Hello and welcome to episode number 13 of Pocket Full of Why podcast.
I'm Hannah, my pronouns are they, them. I steal cool glasses from bars.
I'm Charlotte, my pronouns are she, her. I am not okay that I'm currently 4 books behind on my Goodreads yearly challenge.
We met in college just about a decade ago. We've shared a bunch of joy, disaster, boredom and nonsense since.
We live in Merseyside in the UK with Ian and Ash.
There's a lot we have in common and a lot that we don't.
This podcast is about us exploring the lessons we've learnt throughout our lives.
But in particular, the ups and downs of being in your 20s.
This episode is about mental load and emotional labour, being the relationship manager, changing what you need to, and communication.
On with the show!
So today we're talking mental load and emotional labour. Shall we start off with a chat about what those terms mean?
Yeah. Our kind of first, at least my first experience with it was that comic that we talk about. We'll put a little link on our Instagram and in the show notes. I think it's a French lady who did it.
Yeah, I didn't realise yours was the comic too. Mine was from the comic, but I don't think we were like pals then.
Yeah, we didn't share it, did we? I think we just both saw it in the same internet-y places. So my understanding of mental load, oh God, I don't even know really where to start. It's so difficult to talk about.
It's so difficult that when I came across it, I was literally like, oh, that is exactly how I feel. That
There's
is
a word.
It. I have been trying to vocalise that comic to Ian my entire relationship. I know that you tell me that you're happy to do half, but that's not equal. Mental load comic is basically about managing the household, about being in charge. Being like on a building site, you have a project manager who doesn't get involved and build walls, but just tells people what needs to happen and when. And the mental load is who in the household is doing that.
Yeah, totally. So not only are you doing half of, you know, the jobs, but you're also doing the, you know, the mental work. That's not always mental. Like, I make lists. of divvying it up and, you know, being like, okay, so who's going to do this and who's got the time and when are we going to get round to it and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it isn't just divvying up jobs, is it? It's like noticing that you've run out of something so it goes on your mental shopping list because, like, you're the one who does, like, those shops or whatever, isn't it?
I love the bit in the comic where I think it was, like, it was like a tidying the table side by side. And it was in the comic, it's a feminist comic as well, and talking about how this is more often than not women in a
hetero.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Couldn't think of the word for hetero there. it's more often the woman in a hetero relationship. In the, like, side by side, the woman goes to the table and it's full of stuff. And so to clear the table, she goes around the house and puts, like, socks in the wash and then notices that there's groceries that need to be put away. And when she gets to do the groceries, she realizes that there's a towel that's on the floor and it needs to go back in the bathroom, and it takes her 2 hours to clear the table. But the partner in it goes to clear the table and doesn't do all of the add-on jobs, just does the one task set by the household manager and doesn't think about the other elements that need to happen along the way too.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so difficult to speak to, you know, the person that you live with, bearing in mind that, you know, it's 2020 and the relationships that we are in are because we love and value that person. So it's not like we're, like, trapped in a prison cell with someone who's really bad at household jobs, you know what I mean? It's really hard to articulate how it feels unfair to that other person, and it's certainly been, like, a lot of, you know, like, arguments and misunderstandings and upset, at least for me and Ash. Like, how did you guys find when you first started talking about it?
Well, we... It's difficult to put my finger on it because in our context, Ian drove to Birmingham, so used to commute for 5 hours a day for 3 years of our relationship. And we had an agreement going in that if he did this, which was an opportunity for him to earn more money, be more successful, bring more into the pot, then I would take on all of the chores for the 3 year period.
Oh my God.
And it was a huge sacrifice for both of us. And when we came out of that process, it was actually a brilliant point for us to be like, okay, so we are no longer going to be unequal. How are we going to organise this and set this up, but we thought we had it, we'll just do 50-50. Well, you know, we'll do the jobs as they come, and we just kind of went in blind, and it did not work. No. I was entirely frustrated and never could, because the thing is, like you say, we're both in lovely relationships with great people, and they genuinely think they do half or slash actually do half
even
of
more
the chores or more of the chores. Yeah. And it was really hard for me to be like, it's not that, it's that you would never clean the bathroom unless I told you to. Mm-hmm. It's that you don't ever look at the windows and think, oh, we need to clean the windows because mm-hmm. they're getting a bit grimy. It's not that you're not doing half or more than half. It's that you don't have it in your head. You literally don't have to think about these things for mm-hmm. whatever reason. And there's a lot to get into on why that difference is between us. But for whatever reason, it is not a priority for you. You do not have this mental checklist going through your brain and the responsibility to be in charge of how the house looks, functions, work. To finally answer your question and this mad convoluted answer.
Do it.
I got the comic, read the comic, was like, oh my gosh, this is it. And just sat down with Ian and was like, I read this comic. It sums up exactly how I feel. Could you just read it and let me know what you think? Mm-hmm. And that's what we did.
Okay, so how did he respond to that?
Well, I think there's almost like a back and forth in the comic that was quite similar to ours. In that, so Ian was like, right, okay, I do want to do half and I'll do, you know, whatever needs to happen. But mm-hmm. in that, the subtext is, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll do whatever you have decided needs to happen because you're the manager, because you're in charge and it's your thing, basically. So we're going to talk a little bit about how this goes long term, because our first iteration was, I felt a bit like a primary school teacher on the first day telling the children how the classroom worked. And so when we bought our house and moved in fresh, I walked through the house with Ian and was like, how do we want the house to look on a day-to-day basis? What are our standards together? Mm-hmm. What are the jobs we need to do to get it to mm-hmm. that point? What are our biggest one and the one that we fell out over the most was, what mm-hmm. does guest ready look like? So we live in generally quite a tidy house and it's tidy most days, but what are the mm-hmm. jobs that would be essential for me and him to feel comfortable with people visiting and it's not like, oh god, the house is a mess. It's just, oh yeah, the house is great. So we discussed like how that would look and what would need to happen, and started mm-hmm. off, I mean, we'll talk about where we're at now, but started off basically just ad hocing it. There wasn't set days, mm-hmm. there wasn't set routines, there wasn't a chores list, just kind of going in. How did you guys have the first conversation?
Well, as I say, it was really contentious for us. Mm-hmm. I think after a lot of spaced out conversations, as in with a lot of time between these conversations.
Spaced out, far out. Sorry, I've been watching Australian MasterChef, so my Australian slang... Chicken schnitty has been a big one.
How are you going? So they were pretty like far and few between, and every time we did, it would kind of end up, maybe not as a row, but certainly heated, and with us kind of having to be like, okay, like, let's remember that we love each other and this is something we can come back to, kind of thing. And then it was really recently, actually, we were having a conversation about it, and it kind of clicked for us that we were talking about different things. So when I was talking about it, I was trying to articulate how I felt pressure to be responsible for, like, us as a couple and our home. I think essentially it boils down to because I was, like, socialised as a female person, as a girl and a woman. And Ash thought that this was a conversation purely about our unit of two. So every time I was like, oh, I feel like this, I was talking about my life generally, and he took it as quite a personal attack.
Yeah.
And it's something that I didn't realise the ages that we had a difference on. So once we kind of realised that, I think it clicked for Ash a bit. Because we'd talk about it and he'd be like, no, but I do more than half. So what are you on about? Like, you're just basically telling me that you're anxious about household tasks. And I don't really know what I can do about that, you know?
Catelyn Moran's got a really good shout on this in their new book. So in More Than a Woman, she talks about the mental load. She, all the way through the book, has this analogy of the list that makes your life perfect when you complete it, which never is completed. God. Yeah. And she talks about this idea of, like, this femme childhood where we push a lot of what's your aesthetic, like, what kind of armchair do you want, what kind of clothing do you look for. There's so much about, you know, like, putting together a house that's pleasing to other people, that we kind of pushed into this decorative role, and that we have these kind of, like, Pinterest is very marketed towards women, and like women's magazines, I mean, all about, you know, how to get this style for less in your home. It's becoming more prevalent in men's magazines, but it was definitely when we were growing up, a lot of the magazines that I bought, a lot of the blogs I read, a lot of the TV shows I watched was all about how to put together this, like, perfect home that I was somehow showcasing my skill set in.
Yeah, I think it's kind of put across as, like, to portray your personality, you know, especially in, like, weddings as well. And you see a ton of it in the, like, DIY weddings. Like, we used to follow a lot of DIY wedding blogs when we were in sixth form together.
Hundred layer cake. I mean, there's all kinds of weird things there that, like,
we did a lot of weird stuff in college.
17-18 year olds what, like, well, so interested in a DIY wedding blog, but okay.
Well, we literally used to kind of discuss how we'd do our wedding when we were 17 without it being something that we were legit planning. It was, like, just so we were bearing it in mind, so that we were getting ready, we had a head start, you know what I mean? Because it's really important that you, like, portray your soul, like, really accurately. But yeah, really, you're saying, look how, like, successful I am at, like, being in charge of every aspect of this, and you can judge me on every part of it, you know? I was talking to Ash about this morning. I just wanted to get, like, his kind of final thoughts on it before we recorded. And I was saying to him, like, for example, some stuff that he doesn't maybe even realise I feel like represents me. So, like, he was wearing, we don't have an iron in our house, like, at all. I do. I have a very small iron and I use it for craft projects. We don't iron stuff. So we don't have an iron, but Ash and me, we both wear shirts sometimes. So Ash had put a shirt on to go to work and it hadn't been ironed. And we're both fine with that, like, look. But I was saying to him, like, it is something that is on my mind that he'll be at work. People know that he's got a partner at home. And then, you know, assuming, like, that I'm a woman and stuff, him not having an ironed shirt, like, reflects on me. You know what I mean?
I 100% know what you mean.
That is how we were socialised. This is...
yeah.
Ancient, like, ingrained stuff. You know what? I would like to talk about feminist icon Theresa May for a little
pardon?
No, no, no.
Absolutely not. How is she a feminist icon? She's a terrible all-round person.
I just wanted to still get a really big response off you. Obviously, Theresa May is not a feminist icon. But I was like vocally clickbaiting you. Do you remember when she was on The One Show? When she was Prime Minister, and they did this interview, and it was her and her husband. One of them made this comment about girl jobs and boy jobs. Right. And I thought it was hilarious. It was like, lovely. About putting the bins out is a boy job, right? Okay, the thing is, right, it resonated with me.
Yes.
Because, and for a while, me and Ash, we did refer to things as girl jobs and boy jobs, like, as a joke.
No way.
But, okay. I mean, it wasn't as well. So, like, yeah, putting the bins out, picking up the dog poo in the yard, boy job.
This just sounds like all the jobs you don't want to do.
No, so I will explain myself. girl jobs, right, would be stuff like picking up all of the dirty laundry that's hidden in all the various nooks and crannies throughout the house before putting a laundry load on. Before doing the dishes, going around the house and getting all the cups and the mugs and all this, and, you know, the water bottle out of your backpack. And I think the big difference is basically the boy jobs were things that were obvious that needed doing, took a limited, you know, you started doing it and then you finished it and then it was done and you didn't have to think about it anymore.
Seen and valued jobs.
Right? Really like quantifiable, whereas the girl jobs were ones that it felt like they only mattered to me, I guess, and that Ash just didn't notice.
Mm-hmm. And you'd never get a thanks for.
No, that's like, a good point.
That's been a big point of frustration.
Like, I should be like, oh, Hannah's done the laundry. And I'm like, I've gone underneath your painting desk and got the 7 socks that were there and then spent half an hour finding mm-hmm. the 8th one. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I do need to say that we stopped calling them girl jobs and boy jobs because we got called out and we started calling them Hannah jobs and Ash jobs.
I'm glad that you got called out. The problem is that for me, the frustration builds and builds and builds mm-hmm. and builds and builds, and then I can't articulate mm-hmm. it very well. I can't say, oh, you're not doing your fair share, because he is yeah. doing his fair share of the seen mm-hmm. jobs. So recently I had this big thing about, let's look at all of the jobs that need to be done in the week. And we like wrote them all out and put them on the days on the calendar and literally said like water plants and wipe down around plants afterwards and wipe down this, like literally made clear all of the bits of a job that seems like it's just go around and water the plants. No, because when I go around and water the plants, I take a spray and a cloth and I wipe down the surfaces around, and I might wipe around the windows and around this. And when I do the bathroom, I clean out the like gunky bit at the bottom of the shower mm-hmm. and I clean the actual shower head, like all, literally exposing all of the jobs of an average week.
Mm-hmm.
But it meant that at the end of the day, if it had been my afternoon off and I'd already run around and done the plants, instead of it being a conversation about who was going to do it, Ian was like, oh, thanks for doing that. That's amazing. And that yeah. completely changed my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Just having someone acknowledge, see it, and say thank you. It doesn't have to be equal. Yeah. I just want my job seen.
I totally get that. I think me and Ash do have a totally different situation to you guys. But basically, me and Ash both like really struggle to keep on top of household mm-hmm. tasks. And it is the bare minimum. And our house is never guest ready. Like, never. And when we talk about this, like, I do think a big sticking point for Ash when I was talking about invisible jobs is that he was like, I do loads of invisible stuff too. And like, as much as I have a list of, you know, picking up laundry and blah, 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 Ash has got one as well. So we were both like, oh, so we're both like kind of holding this resentment for these jobs that we're doing without thanks. So last time we spoke about it, we were kind of like, okay, what we're going to do is when you do a job, come and be like, oh, hey, babe, by the way, I've picked up all the socks from under your desk. I keep using this example. And, you know, he'll, like, kiss me on the cheek. So we were like, cool, that's the plan then. And we'll get our acknowledgement, mm-hmm. you know, and it'll be nice. And we'll both be aware of how much we're doing. Obviously, we haven't done that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the time for that.
And are you going to text him when he's not there?
Right. I mean, we do it a little bit. Like, if one of us is at work, we'll be like, oh, how are you? I'll be like, oh, I'm fine. My shift's going fine. How are you? And it'll be like, oh, I've just done some laundry and now I'm reading a book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's adding more mental load to everybody mm-hmm. to say that I've done those jobs. If you're not in exactly the right, like, cutie pie mode of mind, then it just comes across as like 50% brag, 50% nag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If we had all in school had to fill out a worksheet about the type of jobs that needed doing in the household
mm-hmm.
and then sat down and had to decide when in the week or the month or the year these jobs should happen and how frequently, I genuinely think it would have saved me years of anger, frustration and arguments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is definitely something that has been cyclical throughout the generations.
Yeah.
After living with guys in early 20s and stuff, and not just our guys, you know, I lived in student halls yeah. and know people who've lived with guys and stuff like that. All these kind of experiences collate, and it is very rare that there's a guy who moves out of his family home and straight away is pulling his weight in terms of household chores.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that yeah. guys are socialised to not have to know how to use a washing machine, or even think,
yeah.
oh, I'll Google how to use a washing machine, you mm-hmm. know? I think as well, we've certainly done it a little bit, but they're not guys who live with these lads who move out of their family home clueless about doing chores, right? The people who do know how to do chores, who they live with, a lot of the time will like pick up that slack to be nice, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you see in a lot of like student situations, there'll be like a mum one, you know?
Yeah.
Who'll be the one who ends up, you know, oh, I'll just do these dishes and all this. And they just, I mean, even the sweetest, loveliest, most generous person is gonna end up resenting the hell out of everyone in that situation. Like, in our setup, you were the mum one, and I let you be the mum one through laziness. And it's just, it's not okay that you know, like, you did talk to, you know, you did rally the troops and be like, this isn't on, I'm not doing everything all the time. You did stand your ground, but it was definitely on, like, the back of society being okay with the being a mum one, you know?
Yeah, it's not necessarily always gendered. I think that's the one we're seeing quite a lot. But it's the thing of the onus on the person with the knowledge. So I noticed this in myself, especially in the hidden job realm, is that I'm not very practical. Mm-hmm. Like, when the washing machine breaks, I'm like, Ian, I don't know what to do. And I had to, like, think about it and take it on. And so now, if the washing machine breaks, well, when it broke last time, I was like, okay, the washing machine is broken and I've realized that I don't know how to fix it and you do. Can you show me how you do it so that next time I don't have to come to you and embarrassingly ask you how to fix this thing, because this has become your role. And I think, like, me personally, it's something I need to work on, is when I realize that I've let Ian take on a job because it's not my forte, or it's like a boy job, like you were saying, like, that I say, no, I want to know how to do that. Like you said, it's laziness too. It was prevalent in the comic with, because obviously we don't have children, but a lot of the comic was about, like, the mental load and emotional labour of childcare and bringing up children. And it was like a comic panel where there's, like, the dad and the little girl, and he's on the phone to the mum, and he's like, what should I feed her?
What the hell?
Because someone else has already always taken that role on, and you've never taken it upon yourself to involve yourself in a role that you're like, oh, well, she's on maternity, she looks after the baby, she's used to doing it, she's good at it, she knows what to do. Not saying, oh yeah, but could you show me?
Right.
If there's a job in the house that you just don't do and your partner just does, like, find out why.
We've struggled for years with this, and I think at the moment we've got a pretty good balance. One thing that we do is that, and this is going to sound like so horrendously unfair and jammy on my part, so I'm in charge of the laundry, and Ash is in charge of cooking dinner and doing all the dishes.
What? That is a lot more responsibility than the laundry.
And we both do stuff around it.
Is that because there's all these invisible jobs thrown in there too?
There definitely are, but there are on both counts. And, like, I do cook as well. The thing is, as well, I'm the one who most of the time is thinking about what dinners we're going to be having. And I do take a lot of responsibility for making sure that the food is in the house.
So you do the list?
Yeah. So, like, we both get the same bus home, right? But Ash works in the kind of business banking district of the city where there's, like, a tiny Tesco Express. Whereas right in the middle of the city where there's a little Sainsbury's that does really good fruit and veg, and I go past an Aldi on the way to my bus stop. So although we're really time poor, it means that it makes sense for me to be bringing the food home. So yeah, and like, it means it's clearer. And like, for example, Ash always works really late on Fridays. Oh God, it's Friday today, isn't it? Okay, I make dinner on Fridays, so I've got to think of something. But that, to be honest, is more for my happiness than his, so that he doesn't get home at 11 o'clock and then I'm waiting for him to cook dinner so I don't get to eat until midnight. We can eat at 11 now, which is still a very late din-dins.
So how did you negotiate this system? Like, talking about having the conversations, this isn't just a let's move in together and we'll ad hoc do the chores. You've got defined roles. Yeah. What did you put in place?
Basically, it came down to a lot of, like, me being upset and trying to do everything and feeling like he wasn't bothered. And then just having a really frank conversation and being like, what can we take responsibility for? And I was, like, happy to do all of the laundry and put it away, like, Marie Kondo style. Like, it's beautiful. And Ash was like, okay, well, I'll wash all the dishes. And it was like, okay, so we'll make half the dinners each and Ash will wash the dishes. So that's how we did it for a while. But then I kind of was getting annoyed because when Ash cooks, he uses, this is hyperbole, but he uses every pot and pan, every knife and chopping board, right? When I cook, I've got a sink of hot water that I use as I'm going, and I've got plenty of counter space, and all the potato peelings go straight in the bin. So when he was washing up after me, he had barely anything to do, but when I was washing up after him, there was loads.
This is another mental load thing. Like, you aren't considering that after this, the room needs to be tidy. So when I go in and Ian cooks, like, it's, we've got a, like, division now. So he cooks, I clean.
Amazing.
And that works well because then it doesn't have to be this, like, halfway house of him cooking and cleaning and me cleaning and cooking, because it just doesn't work for us. When I go into the kitchen and he's cooking, he's, like, on his phone whilst cooking. Whereas if I was cooking, I'm, like, cooking, cleaning, putting it in the dishwasher, getting the mugs out of the dishwasher so I can load it up again, putting the bin out. Like, I am in the, like, household mindset, whereas he has this probably better ability to be able to be like, I'm doing this one task, and in the breaks between the cook, I am gonna scroll on my phone, enjoy myself, watch a bit of TV. And that used to just blow my brain. Like, it just really annoyed me, because I'd be like, well, when I cooked tea yesterday, I cook tea and clean the kitchen, and you're just cooking tea. It's so hard to, like, divide the roles up, because this is where the frustration would come in for me, because I'd be like, I know you're doing half of the cooking. I'm not just doing half the cooking. Like, I'm doing all the little jobs in between.
And then you don't want to not do the little jobs in between.
Yeah, because that's, like, part of it.
Yeah, I don't want to be on my phone while I'm cooking.
I want a nice house. I want it to look nice. No. But for some reason, you get pulled into these things. And I think the whole mental load is naming it, bringing up the topic, discussing it, and having the vocabulary to be, I am the manager in this situation. And if I am the manager in this situation, I at least want you to acknowledge it and we can have a conversation. Like, we have now, like, household meetings.
Adorable.
Which is really sad.
Wait, do you mean putting time aside?
To have a meeting about a thing that we both manage in our lives. Yeah, it makes sense. But it started off unofficially a household meeting when Charlotte's had a glass of wine.
A drunk whinge.
Yeah. Just being like, just basically me having a big old nag.
Another thing.
And another thing I do around this house. But now, because I think probably after the mental load comic, now I'll be like, hey, because Ian very fairly said, you throw all these jobs at me that you are annoyed about. You throw them all out there and I haven't had time to sit and stew over all the jobs that I've done. So I'm left with you going to me like, well, what have you done this week? And that's not fair. That's not fair at all.
Same, yeah.
So I have gotten to a point now, we have, I think because we've been together so long as well, I'm sure you guys are the same, like, I know now his boundaries and he's been really clear. Like, he has boundaries about money talk as well. Like, he doesn't want to talk about money before bed, whereas I'll talk about the joint account is a bit low, can you top it up before bed? And it doesn't bother me, but he does his head in.
It'll keep him off.
It's the same for, like, this chat. I will be like, hey, I'd really like to talk about the household stuff tonight. Are you down for that? Could we have a bit of a chat about
that? Cute, yeah.
And it's good for me as well, because I wasn't being fair. I was throwing it all out there in this, like, rage. And so now we have the meeting and we decide what the next phase of our household management is going to be. And I always say, this is because I'm really petty, probably. So that is the agreement. And if either of us want to change it, we need to do this again.
Love that.
Because I hate when a job isn't done and I'm the one asking for it to be done. And Ian's like, oh, well, I didn't know that this was something that needed to be done today. Well, no, it's on the list. It's on the agreement. So I'm not being a neg. I'm not nagging you. This is what we agreed. If you don't want to do it anymore,
you did initial.
Have a meeting with me. Yeah, basically. I want accountability. Well, I just hate being this, like, neggy, stereotypical, like, angry woman when I'm just asking for there to be a good system.
Basic
to
respect.
Live together.
Yeah.
And that's with, like, a dream, wonderful partner who, like, takes it on board and really listens. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine how it must have been when, like, a marriage was about...
Well, this wasn't questioned, was it? It was literally your whole job. End of. Yikes. Yeah. So talking about the relationship manager thing, right?
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about this because when you said about it, I hadn't really realised that I was one.
At first I was like, oh God, I'm the relationship manager and it's this huge thing. I like being the relationship manager, to be honest. I'm quite a bossy person. Like, I'm quite
you are
particular about the way that I like things to be done. It totally comes across in my work life as well.
And that's a skill set. You shouldn't be apologetic about it.
I guess. No, I'm not apologetic. But the thing is, right, so I'm quite pleased with this metaphor. So if being the relationship manager is my job, like, I get holiday hours, right?
Yeah.
If it's a job. Yeah. So although I'm happy being the relationship manager, there are times when I am going to need you to step up and take over.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think we should backtrack a little bit to, like, discuss what kind of things we mean when we say relationship manager. Because this isn't, like, necessarily...
Oh, sure, okay.
I think it means different things for different people. Like, what is some of the roles that you take on as the relationship manager?
So definitely, for me, planning meals and organising, buying food. That falls to me a lot as well because I'm a pickier eater than Ash. I'm quite particular. I don't want to eat, like, the same thing a bunch of times in 1 week. And whereas I think left to his own devices, Ash would eat a lot differently than he would with me here. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be mean. Do you remember that time? I think we went on holiday and Ash, for his dinner, ate like a whole pack of pickled beetroot and a chicken Kiev. Like, it's fine, right? But, like, anyway.
Oh, I kind of meant, like...
The emotional stuff.
Like, I am the person that if we've had a bit of a fallout, I am like, come on then, come and give me a hug. Like, I am the, like, broker of the
deal.
You're
the one to offer the olive branch.
Yes, 100%. Like, go on then, should we have a cup of tea and... You know, shake it off. Like, I seem to be the one that, like, calls.
Get here.
Yeah. Come on, then.
Yeah. Ash will, like, run away from me in the house to be like, we're not talking about this. And I'm like, yeah, we bloody are. Like, which I think is very noble.
Oz is also, like, I realised it most when Ian's done the whoopsie, basically. He's done the thing that's upset me.
Yeah.
And then, then, I have to be, like, the one to, like, smooth it over, make it better, do the summing up of why we're okay and why we love each other.
What have we learned?
Yeah. What will we do better next time? And I didn't, again, express this very well to begin with, because I haven't been taught the language, basically, because it's not a cultural language that we all speak often enough. I didn't really understand emotional labour and that role as a relationship manager. But I remember just being like, no, you've done the wrong thing. You should be the one making it better.
Right?
I'm always the one, like, stepping into that. And we've been able to vocalise it, talk about it, understand it better. It's developed now. We have a relationship shorthand, which is, what does Charlotte need when she's upset? Which is, that's the prompter question. So we've had a big conversation about when you've messed up, when you've upset me, or when I'm just having a bad day, like you say, like, off hours, off duty. When I'm not in office and I need cheering up, what can you do to make me feel better? And it's like, give Charlotte a hug.
Love it.
Make her a cup of tea. Put on a nice TV show that she likes if she's staring into space in a mad mood. Because she does want to watch something. She just doesn't want to speak to you. Like, all these, like, things.
Yeah.
And now having the shorthand and being able to, like, prompt that behaviour has really helped.
I've been thinking, when I think about it, right, I kind of... It correlates quite directly to my job. So I work in a small shop, right? And there's a couple of supervisors and key holders and stuff. And there's the sales assistants who are the staff. And then whoever's the duty manager, which is sometimes me, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is in charge of everything. And, like, I think that's how I was thinking about the relationship manager thing. Whereas, what if instead, rather than a small shop, right, I think of our relationship as bigger shop. Like a department store, okay? You know, I cannot resist a metaphor once I get the idea, Charlotte. So, right, in the department store of my household. No, so we've got laundry, right? So I'll be the manager of the laundry department and Ash is the manager of the kitchen. But then as well, we've got the dogs. So thinking about it, right, like, Ash is the one who sorted out, like, the dog's flea and worm stuff. He's the one who takes the dogs to the vet when they need it. Ash is the dog manager. Like, if someone that we know it's appropriate it's appropriate to buy someone a present. Is there a more normal way of saying that? Like, I'm the one who sorts presents. Recently, I bought a present for someone. I told Ash, like, oh, I've got this present. And Ash was like, ooh, what have we got? And I was like...
Check yourself.
Like, it's from me, but okay.
I like that, though. That's true. Oh, I have one, which is self-shaming. So, talking about, like, girl jobs, boy jobs, and, like, the other responsibilities in the house, I got thoroughly read to filth by Ian this morning. So we were, like, in bed. He always lets the cat out because I'm a heavy sleeper and I never notice. Like, genuinely don't.
I do the heavy sleeper line as well. It's mostly true.
There's a big occasion when I notice, but I know that he'll do it. So anyway.
My side of the bed's against the wall.
So what are you going to do? What am I supposed to do? Honestly, I'm close to the door now and it's a problem. And I've tried to change for that very reason.
You've got a bigger bedroom, so you've got no excuse.
The doorbell went and we were having a lie-in. We were both asleep.
What did you do? And
I turned and, like, looked at Ian, like, the doorbell's gone. But he went down and got the parcel and I carried on sleeping. And then this morning, I was, like, unboxing them secretively because one of them is his Christmas gift. And he was like, you know when the doorbell goes, you just look at me like, Ian, the doorbell's gone and I can do nothing about it.
Right. Okay. So first of all, answering the door is dangerous.
Yeah, I don't answer for anyone. Like, Ian said to me the other day, you have no idea what the takeout person looks like, do you? And I was like, nope.
No.
I have no clue. That's never my job.
No.
And that is an embarrassment from me because I'm just like, oh, he does it. So I'm just going to be lazy and not do it because I don't want to.
I just like, I don't have a bra on, you know? Whereas Ash can literally just, even if we're like running around the house naked and the door goes, he can just throw a pair of jeans on and it's appropriate for him to answer the door. It's a whole thing for me. Obviously, we spend most of our time running around the house entirely naked. No, but totally. Oh, man. Answering the door is a big one. And then, you know what, right? In terms of babies, emotional labour and mental load, for me, is in the con column of deciding to have children. Because I don't know how it would go. And I don't know if I'm all right with it.
But this is part of the problem with the system that we have. Like, we are, like, speaking about it now. I'd say in negotiations currently. Where the big issue is, so I am supposed to take 9 months and see no one all day but a baby that I have to learn how to care for entirely.
From scratch.
And
well, no, not for you.
He takes 2 weeks off?
What the hell?
2 weeks? 2 weeks? Really? He's going to take 2 weeks off and I'm potentially, like, got stitches, potentially just had a huge operation, have this baby to look after. What chance are we giving him to not be the guy in the cartoon calling me in 4 years' time saying, what should I feed her? Because he's not got any time to get to know his child, get to understand his child. How are we expecting the people in our lives to, you know, do anything different?
Yeah.
When we're just saying, yeah, 2 weeks with your child and then you won't see them other than at weekends. But because the other person is looking after the child all week long, you'll just be like, oh, well, just like answering the door. I'm used to Charlotte doing it now. Charlotte knows what the baby likes. Charlotte knows how to feed the baby, keep the baby happy. So leave it to Charlotte. And that's it. I agree, is a scary point in the negotiations to be like, I didn't realize, and this is like really good of Ian, like he was looking it up and he was like, you can share your maternity leave.
Yeah, you can't you?
But it's a big financial implication because you can share your maternity leave and of the 9 months we can divide it up between us so we could both be off with the baby for 4.5 months if we wanted to do. However, then you've got to put the baby in childcare for an extra 4.5 months. So
when it's younger as well.
Yes, exactly.
And even just what a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We just need to do a little bit more effort campaigning for paternity rights. Really,
oh, definitely.
And paternity leave.
And, like, men need to think about this more until when it affects them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, having babies is, like, super far off for me, even if it happens at all. Me and Ash were talking about it in terms of the mental load and stuff. Ash was saying that he thinks that if we had a baby, it would be him who takes on a lot of the jobs because that is kind of his forte in our house. So, like, I tend to be in charge of organising resources and planning, whereas Ash will be the one who's kind of more in the nitty-gritty stuff. So I was kind of like, oh. But then literally might have like a person like attached to a nipple. That is quite nitty-gritty.
yeah. And also it's the compounding effects of that, like biological factor of if you're feeding the baby most of the time and you need to be within proximity of the baby to feed the baby, then are you going to be able to pop to the supermarket?
Yeah, you know? And kind of as well, while I'm feeding the baby, I may as well be the one changing the baby because I'm right here. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just so far off.
If you're having to organise who's home with the baby and you've got the nipples, then it's going to be you.
Or, like, you know, you're going to be, like, pumping milk and all this stuff. Like, you do, you know, you hear about people doing that. It's it's yet another thing to organise in your day, though, isn't it? Like, it's not like I can pass on.
Yeah, that's the factor for me. I've got to say, like, I know we'll get back into... It is mental load, though. And it's this kind of fear and planning that I think is part of the mental load too, and part of relationship management long term, is that Ian is nothing but delighted and excited about having children, and doesn't seem, you know, he's a little bit older by a few years, but he doesn't seem to have the same level of full fear as I do for how drastically my life is going to become
totally
organization
different.
Blunder every day.
Mm-hmm.
How it's all gonna be nothing to do with my needs. And maybe that's me catastrophizing. Maybe I've seen too many like storylines where it's all horrendous, but literally all anyone says, it's the hardest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I did have young babies to help raise when I was
when you were young
11 through so I've got an idea. But I don't think he is anywhere near as scared for how his life is going to change. And I think that's true. Like, I don't think his life is going to change that much. But I think my life will entirely change. And I am so scared.
Yeah, I think as well, one of the, like... I mean, it's totally bittersweet. Like, we're more aware... I mean, because of stuff like, you know, TV shows like One Born Every Minute. And then because of just... the internet and people having places to talk about this stuff, like, me and you have got a much clearer idea of what motherhood involves and, like, the honest, you know, I was going to say warts and all, that feels really inappropriate in this context, but, like, the scary, heavy, hard element of motherhood that maybe our mothers weren't exposed to at all. You know, you hear, like, oh, it's really, it's a big deal, but, you know, you forget the pain and it's all worth it. Like, that's all my mum
We're not
really
getting
said.
The party line anymore. We're getting, like, the hard-hitting Channel 4
truth.
Dispatches documentary now.
And, like, damn, like, I do really love the idea of, like, carrying a baby and having someone who is, like, genetically part of me and, like, how much, like, love with Sherlock, I can imagine that feeling. And despite how wonderful and, like, desirable and magical that sounds and feels, and, like, I can hormonally feel it, it's just absolutely terrifying, and I'm not sure if I could do that.
Yeah.
I can't make that decision.
Is there anything else? So I think we should do, back to, like, mental load, what would be your tips for having good communication when talking about the mental load and household management?
I think, well, a tip to my past self, certainly, is make it clear when you're talking about your general experience in society and when you're talking about the way you want to change people behave in this household, because that literally was just something that we misunderstood about each other. And when Ash realized that I was just trying to articulate my experience as someone socialized in a feminine way, he was like, oh, you weren't just having a massive go.
Yeah,
right. I think your thing of making time to have like a discussion about the household is something that I'm certainly going to take on board and makes a lot of sense. Because we've only talked about it when it's come to a head, you know?
Yeah, that was us for a while.
When we're, like, annoyed at each other because, you know, like, I'll have had a day off and I'll have, like, done everything, you know, I'll have done every single thing, Charlotte, and the house will be sparkling. you know, maybe Ash will come home and cook dinner and then the kitchen's a tip and I literally cleaned it. And so I'm there, like, oh, babe, when you make dinner, maybe you could do it. And then he's like, whoa, like, maybe you could shut the hell up.
I'd never say that. But yeah, I get exactly what you
but
mean.
But like, making the time to do it rather than doing it in those heated moments, I think is a great shout. Do you have any more pearls of wisdom I can pass off as my own?
Do you think, it, like, if you possibly can, if it's even an inkling in the back of your head to have the conversation, A, not after a glass of wine, for me, and B, ask your partner, like, yes, before you do any of the blaming, any of getting the jobs out, say, I'd really like to talk about household chores. Would you be down for having this chat today? And if they say no, saying, okay, well, could we book in some time? When would you be happy to? Or like I asked specifics of what kind of time, what kind of situation would you like us to talk about this?
Love that.
I think just reading the comic together really helped.
That's a good one.
Reading the comic together. And I do think my main thing is people are always like, oh no, but he's got a lower standard to me.
Yeah.
And that means that actually I'm the neg because I'm asking him to do things that I want. So I just do it because he's not bothered. You both live together. You both share this space. Sit down together and household manage, decide what the standard will be.
Yeah.
And if you disagree, sit down and say, okay, well, what shall we do? How shall we compromise? This is on both of us. I can't just take on the frustration and you can't just take on the blame for why the house always looks horrible because you're a man and you've never been socialized to have
get
a nice
rid of
house.
That
like, that's just
attitude.
So out of date. Have the conversation. It's really hard to not come at it with all of your chores. Don't assume that just because you're frustrated, they're not frustrated too. Like,
true.
I had to really check myself. As soon as I started the conversation, I was assuming it was going to be like the martyrdom of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be there like, and I've suffered. And I've suffered here. And I've done this. And it was actually like, yeah, babe, but you literally never get up to let the cats out. And you literally never take the bins out.
I know.
And, you know, it's a conversation for both of you. And you're both at this starting point. Mm-hmm. So have the conversation about how you can both improve, how the household can improve.
Yes.
Not going in, getting points.
Like, that's a good one.
If you want it to actually get better, you need to discuss what you want.
Yeah.
There needs to be a wipe down of the sink more often and the toilet more often. Like, it's a constant negotiation and it's exhausting to always be like on it and always be thinking about it. Like, I think we need to, like you say, completely normalize it, talk about it more often. And also be okay with the fact that sometimes when you go around someone's house, it's going to be messy.
Right.
It's gonna be unclean. Like,
I mean,
it's just mess. What is the problem?
You know what I love? There is no like malice or like evil glee in anything I'm about to say. When you go to a friend's house and it isn't spotless, right? So like I've been to someone's house and I can't even think, like the bath had a little ring around it when I went to the toilet, and I was just like, oh, like, I'm a normal person. like, the bin has got tea bag stains on it. Like, I see that, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I am not Stig of the Dump. Like, I mean, I am, but I'm not alone up here.
Okay, so this week we have some listener mail from a friend of the show.
Johnny writes, love the show, just wanted to chip in on what Charlotte said about doing a weekly shop at the grocers and finding stuff going off faster than the stuff packed in plastic. That was something that really wound you up, isn't it, babe?
Yeah.
So Johnny says, supermarket fruit and veg is sealed in a modified atmosphere. The air inside has the O2 content lowered and it's commonly replaced with nitrogen or carbon dioxide. It means there's less oxygen around to react with the food and it lasts longer. Nice bit of science there. Cheers, Johnny. So basically, you were surprised to find the fruit and veg from the grocers going off before the end of the week because supermarkets have skewed your perception of how long fruit and veg lasts. We're all being gaslit by plastic bags, as if it wasn't bad enough.
Whoa. Damn.
He says, Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Hope you're both well. Cheers. Cheers, Johnny. Love you, Johnny.
Oh, thanks, Johnny. Like, it makes me even more determined to knock the whole plastic wrap supermarket option on the head. Like,
I mean, it does. I am, like, so impressed with, like, modern technology and the things that people have thought up to meet, like, the demand for, like, non-seasonal fruit and veg being available all the time. Like, that is incredible. It's just such a shame. Like, it explains why we're so dependent on plastic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we need to make some sacrifices.
But I just feel like this isn't the situation. Like, just so that I can buy mushrooms on a Sunday and they'll still be okay on a Saturday isn't really where this need is.
Well, like, you were saying you had that, was it salad that came in a bag of, made out of seaweed?
Yeah.
Could we do the modified oxygen levels in the seaweed bag?
Like, is there a better way of doing this? Yeah. Well, this is kind of interesting. I'm glad we got this email this week because we've just been talking about the new plastic-free supermarket. Well, what's it called? Zero Waste Supermarket?
Yeah. So it's called Waste Not Want Not. It's the one in our episode I was like, oh, there used to be a plastic-free place by me. And what's happened is it used to be kind of a fancy market stall, and now they're opening like a proper shop.
I'm so excited.
Proper, sorry, market stalls, I don't mean it like that, but like a high street place that's really big, and it's got those big, you know, those things on the wall with like a lever and all pasta comes out. I've seen pictures. They're opening in a week or two and I'm so excited. It's less than a mile away from my house.
They look like the big counters in Hogwarts, like house points system.
Yeah. It is like that. But I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And I think we had a little idea earlier today, didn't we, that we're maybe going to have like a plastic-free week challenge.
Yeah.
We're going to do the food plan.
We're going to brave it.
And we're going to have a little go.
And we're going to go use them as our plastic-free week, I think. I'm nervous.
Let's see how it goes.
Gaslit by plastic bags. We need to go. I refuse for this to continue.
Gaslit by gas. I know. Amazing. Thanks for writing in, Johnny. I always appreciate your feedback.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
If you've got anything you want to chip in, send it our way.
You can find us on Instagram at pocketfulofwhy.
You can contact us on pocketfulofwhypodcast@gmail.com.
Show notes and transcripts are available on our blog, pocketfulofwhy.wordpress.com.
Please like and subscribe.
We'll speak soon. Next time, we'll be talking about vulva care, upkeep, myth-busting, and weeing after sex.
We've been Charlotte and Hannah, and this has been Pocketful of Why Podcast. Bye!